Hey everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes is Gold podcast, the best place in the entire world, including all of Canada, to learn how to build new thoughts, new actions, and new results. I'm your host, John Acuff, and today we're talking about, imposter syndrome. Have you ever struggled with that? Like maybe you're going to start something new, a new business, and imposter syndrome said, who are you to think you can do that? You're not a real CEO or an entrepreneur or a small business owner, or maybe even being a mom. Like you've had that feeling of like, you're not a good mom, you're not a great mom, or you're not a real runner, you're not a real writer, and imposter syndrome gets really loud. That's happened to me too. But in the next few minutes, I'm going to teach you the only instant cure that exists for imposter syndrome. There's an instant cure, and I'm going to teach it to you. Before we jump into that, though, here's a quick word from the sponsor of today's episode. Did you know that 96% of people feel they're not tapping into their full potential? 96% of people. That's most people. Now, the good news is, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not most people. You and I can be the 4% that open every gift they have and enjoy every bit of potential. So how exactly do we do this? Well, all it takes is a goal. In fact, I wrote a whole book about it, and my three-step plan will help you escape the comfort zone, avoid the chaos zone, and live in the potential zone. What if each day felt like a gift and each year got progressively better? It can, and my book shows you how. Today is the day that you can unleash your full potential. All It Takes is a Goal is now available wherever books are sold. You can also pick up a copy at atgbook.com. That's atgbook.com. All right, let's jump into the episode. I'm trying something new for those wicked busy people out there. So I'm about to give you a 30-second version of this entire podcast just in case, like, you're walking into the office, the kids are having a no-nap meltdown, or you just finished your time on the treadmill. So you ready? 30 seconds. Here's the entire episode. Work is the only cure for imposter syndrome. When you do the work, you get results, and results are imposter syndrome's kryptonite. It's impossible for imposter syndrome to tell you you're not a writer when you write, or you're not a runner when you run. So start today. Now, do you have more than 30 seconds? You have a little more time in your schedule? Fantastic. Let's listen to the whole episode. I beat imposter syndrome. I did. It had a pretty good run, though. It kicked my butt from the cold shores of Ipswich, Massachusetts, to the traffic-gnarled streets of Atlanta, Georgia, from the third grade until March 5th, 2010. So, traffic-snarled streets of Atlanta, Georgia, from the third grade until March 5th, 2010. If that feels oddly specific, allow me to explain. The first thing you need to know about imposter syndrome is that it only bothers you when you're attempting a brave goal. If you slack off at work, choose to stay stuck in a bad dating relationship, if you gossip about friends or cheat on your taxes, imposter syndrome will not interrupt your day. Mosquitoes swarm when you go outside in the summer because they can sense carbon dioxide in humans from more than 30 feet away. And I would say imposter syndrome is similar, except it's looking for hope. If you hope to write a book, if you hope to start a business, if you hope to be a better mom or a better dad, if you hope to lose weight or get into shape, that moment is when imposter syndrome saunters out of the shadows and spoils your picnic. In the third grade, I knew that I wanted to write books. I did. I knew that. And I knew that because my teacher, Mrs. Harris, at Doyon Elementary School in Ipswich, Massachusetts, told me I could. Her kindness and encouragement meant so much to me that I actually dedicated my brand new book, All It Takes is a Goal, to her. If you've got a copy of the book, fantastic. You can read that dedication. That's who I dedicated the book to. That was 1984. I wrote my first book in 2010. So what happened in between? Why is the gap between 1984 and 2010 so massive? What happened? Easy. It was imposter syndrome. Now, I don't remember it from the fourth grade. Like, I'd be exaggerating if I said, I remember distinctly feeling imposter syndrome in the fourth grade. What I remember in the fourth grade was Trapper Keepers. And I also remember this crazy pair of new basketball shoes that my friend Dave Bruce had. They were called Air Jordans. He was the first one at our school to have them. And they cost an insane amount of money. I hope you're sitting down when I tell you how much they cost. These new Air Jordans that he had cost $45. Can you imagine paying $45 for Nikes? I remember sitting with him on the playground talking about it. And he said, yeah, they're $45. And I was like, that's crazy. Why would you pay $45 when you can get three pair of my $15 shoes for the same price? I was wearing $15 shoes. Nice. They were nice. But I don't remember imposter syndrome for most of my childhood. But I definitely heard its buzz in high school. As a teenager, you start to make decisions that have long tails. So choosing a college has a long tail. Rushing a fraternity or a sorority has a long tail. Picking a major has a long tail. Choosing a spouse has a long tail. Life gets real. So in those moments, imposter syndrome gets busy. When life gets real, imposter syndrome gets busy. It would be easy to handle. Like, imposter syndrome wouldn't be a huge problem if it was loud and neon. Even the most aggressive mosquito can overplay its hand if it lands on your arm in broad daylight. You can slap it away with very little effort. But imposter syndrome is tricky. Mine never completely says, you know, you'll never be a full-time writer or you can't be an entrepreneur. If it came out that boldly, I would recognize it for the lie that it is and I'd ignore it. No, imposter syndrome is much subtler than that. Instead, it says, hey, before you sit down to write, you better spend a lot of time figuring out what it takes to be a real writer. Or it'll say, you know, you can be an entrepreneur, but it's probably going to be hard because you didn't learn how to do that when you're a kid. Like, you know, all these stories you hear about these successful entrepreneurs that had like a paper out when they were four and like in the womb, they were doing business. Like, you weren't that way. So it's probably going to be really hard. Or imposter syndrome will say things like this to me. Do you think you have what it takes to withstand criticism or humiliation if you become a public speaker? I mean, I'm just saying, I'd hate to see you get hurt. Now, the first approach delays me with research. You better research before you start. The second approach gives me an impossible task. John, you better return to childhood and gain some missing knowledge before you live in the present, before you plan your future. All you have to do is go back to childhood and fix some part of your childhood, and then you can do cool stuff in the present and the future. And the third approach from imposter syndrome pretends to be kindness. Oh, I'd hate to see you get hurt. Now, imposter syndrome, unlike mosquitoes, is always changing tactics. Mosquitoes are annoying. They are. I hate mosquitoes. But at least they don't know how to open doorknobs. Have you ever thought about that? Like, they haven't figured out how to bite you in the cold. Like, there's not a mosquito that figured out, you know what? I think I'm going to like focus on January. If we can figure out how to still be around in January, we can really bite a lot of people. And they don't carry tiny pocket knives to deal with nets. Mosquitoes don't change tactics. Imposter syndrome, though, it adapts. It shifts shapes. It changes course to make sure that you never do. It's a foe worth respecting, which is why it's so surprising that I beat it. Now, there are not a million villains you deal with when you work on a goal. It's actually a pretty short list. Here's the main villains, in my opinion. Number one, overthinking. Number two, procrastination. Number three, perfectionism. Number four, fear. Number five, self-sabotage. Number six, isolation. Number seven, imposter syndrome. Now, because I write about these villains a lot, people often ask me, how do I beat imposter syndrome? And that's a good question. But what they really mean when they ask that is, how do I beat imposter syndrome instantly? And I don't blame them for that. Because who wants to wait for results, right? I mean, who wants to wait? The challenge is, of course, few things in life happen instantly. You don't instantly lose weight. You don't instantly write a book. You don't instantly have a decluttered house. you don't instantly build a business. You don't instantly have a strong, fun marriage that you're excited about. You don't instantly accomplish anything except, and if you were reading this, it would be like, except you can instantly beat imposter syndrome. I should have used a more clickbaity maybe title for this episode of the podcast. I could have said like, cure imposter syndrome in 4 seconds, or the imposter syndrome cure doctors don't want you to know about, or we bought an abandoned campground and you won't believe what we found in the well. That last one got away from me a little bit, which is why I often don't write ideas like that. I try to not be too clickbaity. That said, I can't tell you exactly how to beat imposter syndrome instantly. I actually do have the answer to that particular problem. Are you ready? All you have to do is work. That's it. All you have to do is work. Work is the only cure for imposter syndrome. And unlike most things in life, work is instantly available to you. I didn't beat imposter syndrome and then start writing. I started writing and then I beat imposter syndrome. Did it come back the next day? Of course it did. But guess what? So did I. On that second day, when imposter syndrome said, you're not a real writer, I just started writing again and I beat it. On the third day, the same thing happened. And the fourth day, and the fifth day. And somewhere in the middle, after putting in all that work, imposter syndrome had a hard time keeping up with me. That's why March 5th, 2010 was such a devastating day for it. Because that's the day my first book came out. March 5th, 2010. And imposter syndrome crawled in with a whimper. And it said, you're not a real writer. You're not a real writer, John. It was desperate to assert that. And then I said, well, then what's in my hand? Like, I'm holding up a book, like a published book. It sure feels like a book that I wrote. And it's got my photo on it. I mean, it's got my name on the cover. And then I wrote a second book and a third book and a fourth book. And then a few weeks ago, my ninth book came out. Now, imposter syndrome can't even whisper to me about writing. It's too late. I already turned in my 10th book to the publisher. I have a shelf at home of books that I've written that have been translated into more than 20 languages. I got the Spanish version of All It Takes Is a Goal just the other day. I can see where I'm sitting right now. I can see the Russian version of Finnish. It's too late. I beat imposter syndrome the only way there is, with work. And so can you. So, if you feel like you're not a good mom, hug your kid and beat imposter syndrome. If you feel like you're not a real entrepreneur, spend 15 minutes on your business and listen as imposter syndrome grows quiet. If you feel like you can't get in shape because you're not an athlete, lace up your shoes, walk around the neighborhood, and watch imposter syndrome get shy. Effort creates results. Results kill imposter syndrome. Let me repeat that. Effort creates results. Results kill imposter syndrome. And it doesn't even take a ton of effort. That's the best part to this whole thing. It doesn't take a ton of effort. When you write your first 50 words, you are a real writer. When you sell your first product or service, you are now a real entrepreneur. When you schedule a meeting with a potential client, in that moment, you're a real entrepreneur. It doesn't take a ton of effort. Even the smallest amount of work gets the process started. And you have instant access to that process today. So if you're somebody like me who struggles with imposter syndrome, the faster you do the work, the more often you do the work, the more faithfully you do the work, the more consistently you do the work, the quieter and quieter. Imposter syndrome woken. You'll look up and it won't be a roar, it will be a whisper. And in that moment, you go, oh, John was right. All it took was for me to do the work. Now, if you liked this episode or anything you've ever heard me say, check out my brand new book, All It Takes Is a Goal. It came out a few weeks ago and the response from you guys has been fantastic. Thank you so much for reading the book. You can pick up a copy anywhere books are sold, and I read the audiobook. I feel like it's cheating if I get somebody with a British accent, even though I think people would be like, man, these ideas are even better because they're coming from somebody with a British accent. I read the book and there's 10 bonus stories in it. We put a ton of bonus content that's only available in the audiobook. So if right now you're listening to a podcast and you're like, ooh, I like to listen to stuff and learn and laugh, then you're going to love this book. Make sure you pick up a copy. And thank you for all the reviews you've been writing. We'll put all the links in the show notes as always. And the reviews are super encouraging. Here's one I saw recently from Michael Maney. Michael Maney said, uncanny timing. He said, been listening to John for about a year and a half, listened to the audiobook of soundtracks, and I've done a handful of challenges. We do online challenges to help people accomplish goals. And then he said he still finds a way to present new and relevant info. This week's podcast came at the perfect time and it was just what I needed to overcome the hurdle right in front of me. Thanks, John. Thanks for writing that, Michael. I love when that happens, when you get a bit of information at the moment you need it. Has that ever happened to you? Where it happens to me often is that I'll buy a book and I won't read it for like 18 months, maybe even 5 years. And then it's like the book jumps off the shelf into my lap when I need it the most. It's like all of a sudden I can't put this book down. And I needed to wait for the moment where I needed it the most. That happens to me all the time. It's cool that that happens with podcast episodes. So please make sure you subscribe or follow or whatever it is the kids are saying these days. And please write a review. And you know what? If you've got a friend or a family member or a spouse or a coworker who struggles with imposter syndrome, send them this episode. It's short. It's easy. Send them this episode and go, hey, this made me think of you. I think you'd like this one. I'll see you next week. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast.